Praise the Lord. My name is Mike, like they said. This is my wife, Georgianne. We are a Gospel Text Mission, a 29-year-old ministry that comes to the local church and gives away scripture signs. Now, each family here can take one scripture sign home with them, okay? One scripture sign home with you. Now, if you take a scripture sign, make sure you hang it up outside because they don't belong in the house. If they go in the house, what happens is they get stuck between the cupboard and the fridge and they'll never make their way back outside, okay? So I'm going to pray before I start here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth is of you, Lord, not me, Lord. Get me completely out of the way, Lord. You know, I have nothing to offer these folks, but you do, Lord. Father, I pray that the hearts be receptive to your words, Lord, and that I'm able to speak your words the way you want me to speak them, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you missed Sunday school, man, you missed a good time. Study to show thyself approved, a workman not be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. These folks have got it together. If you missed Sunday school, too bad. You got to come here next Sunday. I bet it gets better every Sunday. Praise the Lord, Sunday school. So if you missed Sunday school, make sure you show up there. 29 years ago, Gospel Text Mission was started. And we've gone across the country giving these scripture signs away. Now, the neat thing is we don't ask for money when we come to a church. What we do is we set up a little table back there, and we sell things with the scripture on them. And we use that money for food, gas, and lodging, and more signs while we're on the road. And God has provided for this ministry over the 29 years. And it's amazing because, get this, now, if you take one of those small signs over there, if it gets lost or stolen, make sure you grab a prayer card back there. If somebody steals it on you or damages, give me a call. We'll send another one right out to you. Now, the devil's kids are not that smart. What they'll do is they'll take your sign, they'll throw it in the ditch or in a bush. So look in the ditch and the bush before you give me a call. But if you can't find it, you let me know, and we'll send you another one out, okay? Now, each family here gets one sign, no matter what size. Doesn't matter what size. We've got metal ones and plastic ones. Take one sign per family. Now, the sign you take is your sign. If you want a sign for somebody else, you're going to have to buy it, okay? But your sign is for you to hang up on your property, because the only way you get these signs free is to be in church, and you folks are in church. Now, if you want a second plastic sign, it's $5. If you want a second metal sign, it's $15. But that first sign is yours free, no matter what size. That post over there, we sell for $25, but you don't have to have the post. There's a photograph album back there. It gives you some ideas of how to hang up your sign. I'm excited about Pastor because he's going to take one of the big signs and hang it up on his property. I got a few more big ones out there. If you guys live on a busy street and you want a bigger sign, come see me after the service. We'll go out to the truck and get you a bigger sign. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the stuff we got on the back table, it's pretty neat stuff. A little brass plaque. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And if you put that on your house, the Jehovah's Witnesses stop visiting you. but call them back and tell them who the real Jesus is, okay? A pastor told me he had a prison ministry, and he says he was talking to a couple of prisoners, and they were confessing to him that they broke into a lot of churches one night, but they didn't break into the church with that brass plaque on it. You might want to think about some security there. We've got little bumper stickers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. You put that on your car, you become a better driver. We got newsletters. Take a newsletter. It tells you what's going on. It's got pictures here. Here's a picture of one of our signs in a casket. And here's the story. In Flushing's Queen, New York, Brother Eduardo loved his gospel sign so much, he requested it be buried with him. As far as the pastor knows, it was buried with Eduardo, leaving the funeral home. So Eduardo's taking the scripture sign to glory with him. I'm not sure how that happens, but leave your sign outside so it's a testimony for the Lord. I'm going to share some testimonies as well as preach a little bit and let you know what's going on. Pastor, go till like 3 or 4 o'clock, you said? Praise the Lord. They're only for grown-ups, okay? They're for adults. We've got little mustache stickers for the kids. I think Georgianne's got some puzzles left for the children, too. So we don't give them away to the children, just to adult families. So one per family. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. If you've got another church that you think might like us to come and give away scripture signs, jot down their name or whatever, and I'll try to hunt them down and call their pastor. And, boy, that Sunday school was great. We got some gray-headed people in that Sunday school that have got much, much wisdom. Did I say something wrong?
No.
Get him off the altar right now.
Maybe he's trying to turn the volume up my airport.
Is that? That's right.
I'll talk lower.
Talk. Check, 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 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, 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 check. Praise the Lord.
Come on.
That's what's missing here is the DJ booth. Praise the Lord. That's good. It's right here where you can handle it. Great. I came out of that world, so I'm trying not to use that lingo. Praise the Lord. When you hang up your sign, you got to think of the scripture verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you're a believer here, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs preach. You got those days that you don't feel like telling anybody about the Lord? I got those days. These signs don't have those days. These signs preach 24/7. You put a light on it and people see it at night. That drunk coming down the road 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll see that sign and it'll touch his heart. God's word won't return void. Let's read Isaiah 55, 8, starting with verse 8. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. He refers to it as a seed for the sower. We have a sign, the prepare to meet thy God sign. It's an interesting sign because it's the only Old Testament sign we carry with us, because we go into Jewish communities across the country and we're able to open up the scriptures for these folks. And somebody put one of the prepare to meet thy God signs up on a hill in the beginning of the school year, and the school bus driver is driving down the road for the first time of the year with a whole bus load of kids, and she sees that sign up on the hill. She goes, man, I don't want to see that sign all year long. That bothers me. I don't want to see that. So she goes to their supervisor and asks for another bus route. In time, she gets another bus route, but it was too late. That seed had already been planted. All she kept seeing is, prepare to meet thy God, prepare to meet thy God. She couldn't get it out of her head. So she goes, I got to do something about this Bible thing I keep seeing in my head. So she knew where a Christian lady lived down the street from her. And by the way, they're going to know where you live when you hang up a scripture sign in front of your house. And she knocked on this lady's door. She goes, excuse me, you don't know me, but I'm a school bus driver in your neighborhood here, and I know you're a Christian, and I got to ask you a question about this Bible thing I keep seeing in my head. And that Christian lady invited her in, and in a short period of time led that lady to the Lord Jesus Christ. She became saved. Amen. To God be the glory. Oh, this is a clapping church. Some churches are clappers, some churches aren't. And like I said, I came out of the world, so when you start to clap, I start to do this. Don't do that. I don't want to do this. God's got to get all the glory because I fear the Lord. But go ahead and clap if you want, but I got to plug my ears. I don't hear. Praise the Lord. But God's word is amazing, and let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Praise the Lord. Good music, good Sunday school. You got a sweet pastor who loves the Lord. We've been communicating on the computer. I'm going to take off my jacket. Do you mind? I get all dressed up just in case, and I can always take off clothes as need be, ties and suit jackets. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes we don't want to read our Bibles, and it's mostly probably because we know that God knows our heart, and this reveals our heart. But it's so important to read our Bibles so that God can know our hearts, and that's how God talks to us. We talk to him through prayer. He talks to us through the Bible, and this is how we learn about God. Now, it says there that the Bible knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Somebody put one of our signs on an old country road. They put it in the ground, mortared it in really good so nobody could take it. And every day the farmer over here had to go to the fields to work, and he did not like that sign because it knew the thoughts and intents of his heart. Every time he saw that scripture sign, he goes, oh, boy, it bothers me. I got to do something about this. So eventually the farmer gets on his tractor. He goes down to that sign. He puts a chain around it and gets back on his tractor. He rips it right out, and he puts the sign, the post, and everything on his wagon, and he goes down to this gravel bed down the road, and he's got a front-end loader on his tractor, and he digs a nice big hole. He puts the sign, the post, and everything in the hole, and he buries it over. He goes, there, I don't have to see it anymore. The thoughts and intents of his heart are not bothered. And he gets on with his work. Now, the Bible says we've got to bury the word in our heart that we might not sin against him. But the farmer didn't know that scripture. So he gets on with his life, and not long after that, a young man in the neighborhood, he's doing some work on his driveway, and he sees, hey, I need some gravel. So he goes down to that gravel bed for his driveway. He starts digging away, putting the gravel in his little pickup truck, and eventually he hits that sign. He goes, what's this? It's a piece of metal? What? It's a Bible sign. It's all bent and dinged up. I'm going to take it home, fix it up. Maybe I can do something with it. So he takes it home, and he puts it on his workbench, and he's cleaning it up. And as he's doing that, he's reading the sign. He goes, I know where I've seen this sign before. It's down an old country road. I'm going to fix it up and put it back. So he fixes it all up, and he puts it back. Well, the farmer gets on his tractor the next day, bah, 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 and he sees the sign. The thoughts and intents of his heart come bubbling up. The Lord Jesus Christ touches his heart. He realizes that he's a lost man. He's going to hell without a Savior, and he needs to get saved. He gets to church, and Jesus Christ saves his soul. He becomes a born-again, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. And one night they're having testimony time. The farmer's sitting there. He raises his hand. He goes, yeah, I got saved. He says, I buried this sign one day, and a few days later it got resurrected. And I realized that I was a lost man, and I came here, and Jesus Christ saved my soul. And he sat down. Everybody goes, amen. I'm not sure if it was a clapping church or not, but they said amen, and the young man in the back of the church raises his hand. He goes, yeah, I'm the guy that resurrected it. They're both going to the same church, and neither of them knew it. Isn't that sweet? God's ways are so much higher than our ways. He loves us so much. Down in Virginia a couple years ago, everybody's putting their signs in the car at the end of the service, and this brother's putting his sign in the car, and he hears somebody from across the street go, hey man, how much you want for the car? And the brother goes, what? He goes, how much you want for the car? And the brother goes, it's not a for sale sign, it's a scripture sign. The guy comes running over, he wants to buy the car, the brother wants to tell him about the Lord. Well, after a few minutes of talking, that brother led that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God got the glory. God got the glory. Now, if you're not saved here, you need to get saved. Don't leave these doors until you accept Christ as your Savior. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth that God has raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And this is a very unique area you folks live in. You've heard the gospel message many times, I'm sure. But we were up in Maine a few years back, and I met this brother that sat in a church, a gospel, Bible-believing church, for 8 years and never accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then one day he got touched by the Holy Ghost, and he accepted Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, and he got saved. So I don't take for granted that everybody is saved here, because Jesus said the wheat and the tare are going to grow up together. Some are wheat, some are tare. We don't know which ones are which, but our job is to just go tell everybody, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8. Now, when I start sharing some of these other testimonies, you're going to get interested and go, wow, that's great, and get all excited, and you might lose that fervor by the time you get home, so don't lose the fervor to put up your sign, because it's a matter of life and death, eternal life and eternal death. So don't be afraid to hang it up when you get out and go home with it. Praise the Lord. Luke 8. This is the parable of the sower seed. I'm just going to touch on a little bit. And Luke 8, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now Jesus said they might not see and might not understand. He didn't say they can't or won't understand or see. He said they might not. So that means to me that there's a chance to get saved right up to the day that you take your last breath. So don't wait for that day, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know how to get your heart right with God. It's all around us. And you know the people you need to talk to about getting saved and getting your heart right with God, because that's the most important thing you can do. Jesus is going to go on to explain the parable here. Verse 11, Jesus says, Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. What you've got here is the word of God on signs. And we know what a seed is. You take a seed, you put it in the ground, it dies, it germinates, and then it starts to grow. And it's representative of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So that seed starts to grow, it produces a vine, and then it produces a branch, and then it produces fruit. And this is the order of things. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Of me you can do nothing. And you're supposed to bear much fruit. The fruit meaning we've got to reproduce ourselves. Now, once you're saved, you've got to get other people saved. You can't save them, but you can present the gospel to them so that God can save them. Our job is to present the gospel. His job is to save them. So this is why it's so important that you put the Bible signs out. And study the scriptures around your Bible sign so that you'll be able to answer people who ask questions about it. Because we've got to be prepared to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within you. And if you've got a hope that lies within you, you've got to be able to share that with everybody, either by a Bible sign or by a tract. You can always carry a tract in your pocket and hand it to them, or by your lips. There's some things going around like a lifestyle evangelism. I'm sorry. Jesus didn't say if you got a nice house, you got good grass, they're going to say, he must be a Christian, so I want to be a Christian. No, we've got to preach the word. We've got to give them the word of God, the Bible, the word of God. We can't show them God's love dying on the cross by having a nice house. We've got to tell them. Angels can't tell them. We've got to tell them. Go ye into all the world and tell the gospel, to share the gospel. So he's going to talk about the seeds here. The seed is very important here. And verse 12, Jesus says, The seeds that those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now these are the folks that the word of God is presented to them, and the devil takes it out of their hearts. I'm going, wow, how does that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. When I was a young boy, before I got saved, I turned on my tunes, my rock and roll, and I keep flicking the station around trying to get the right tune. And when I hear a preacher start preaching on one of those stations, I turn it really quick. The devil took it out of my heart. The devil did not want me to hear that preaching. We see people as we're driving down the road with our gospel text mission signs on the side. On one side it says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And on the other side it says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see people looking at it, and then they'll look away really quick. The devil took it out of their hearts. The devil does not want the word of God to be propagated. The devil does not want people to see the word, because if they see the word, he won't have them in hell. They'll be in heaven because they'll listen to the word of God and get saved. So this is how the devil takes it out of people's hearts. We know this is true, because when you start talking about the Lord to somebody and they either change the subject or they look away or find something very important to do, that's what they, on the road when George and I are traveling across the nation, I like to look out the corner of my eye at the intersections and see people like look at the corner of their eye at the truck and then find something very interesting to do on their dashboard. And I keep staring at them. But, you know, we've got to get the word out. And it's not that hard to get the word out. If you're an introvert like me, you can just put a track down, you know, or just say, here, I'd like you to have this. And find a nice track. I've been handing out these tracks. There's an Ace of Spades with a gospel message on the back. There's Flag. It's a flag track with a gospel of Romans Road on the back. I've got motorcycle one with a motorcycle on the front, loud pipes save lives, and it goes into the gospel message on the back. But there's all kinds of ways that God has provided for your personality to go and preach the gospel to every creature. This sign is just the beginning. And these signs will fit in your window. They'll fit in the back of your seat of your car so people can see them. But the job is to spread the gospel, to get the word out, and be knowledgeable that the devil is going to take it out of their hearts. So we've got to go in knowing that. Because Jesus said in verse 13 or 12 here, in verse 13, talking about the seed, he says, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." Now, these are the folks that believe, they accept Christ, and then all of a sudden they have this joy, and then they fall away when temptation comes their way, because they didn't have any root. And if you want to get some good root, here's a plug for Sunday school again. Come to Sunday school. That's where you're going to get your root, because the Bible is preached there, and the depths of it is there. The preaching of the word is to them that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. You're going to get preaching here from your pastor, and you're going to get preaching and teaching down there in that Sunday school. And that's the powerhouse. That is the powerhouse. And pastor also confided in us that there's some prayer warriors in that room. If you have a need, you come down and sit in that Sunday school, and they'll write down those needs, and those prayer warriors will bombard heaven, and those prayers will be answered, because God answers prayers, and He always answers prayers. Now, those prayers, yes, those prayers are answered, and you might not think they are, but the answers could be yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. Those prayers are going to be answered. And I looked into the face of these people down in that Sunday school room, and you've got some serious folks here that mean business with God. And if you mean business with God, get down to that Sunday school room and listen to that. Anyhow, I'm sorry, I digress. I just love Sunday school so much. I promote it as much as I can, because I need it. I need it. The Bible says, don't forsake the fellowship, the gathering together. And I could get off really goofy if I don't have brethren around me keeping me straight. And I'm on Facebook a lot, and I've got a lot of brothers in the Lord that check me when I goof up a little bit. I get too political on Facebook, let me know if I get too political, because I'm supposed to be out there preaching the word. I'm supposed to be getting the word out. So we need each other to help each other around here. Verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus is talking about the seed. And he said, "And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." Wow. The seed that fell, it fell, and the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, they weren't able to bring any fruit to perfection. That means they weren't able to lead any souls to Christ, to give God the glory, because of the cares and riches and pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with cares and riches and pleasures in this world, but it's when it stops the word of God, that's when we have the problems. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And it talks about pleasures. Sin has its pleasure for a season. So there are some pleasures you can enjoy that are not sinful. And then there's riches. Now, just because it says riches will stop the word of God doesn't mean you've got a lot of riches. It could mean maybe you're working too hard to get the riches and the want of money. So cares and riches and pleasures are going to get in the way of God's word. It goes something like this. Georgiana and I travel across the country. Is that a microphone or what is that? It is. It's a little microphone. Okay. I won't touch it.
It's a podcast.
Oh, really? Like I would have talked in my Philippine accent. Okay, praise the Lord. By the way, I'm sorry for my accent. I go up to New England states. I have to apologize up there for my accent, too. We travel across the country giving these signs away. By the way, if you sell out to God, if you give it all to God, hold on, because he's going to do amazing things with you.
That's right.
Unbelievable things. But you got to sell out first. Totally sold out, 100%. For a while, I wasn't using the word sold out because it sounded too worldly. But I remembered that if you sell out, there's a cost to be paid. And God paid that cost on the cross.
That's right.
So sell out. Sell out to God.
Come on.
All or nothing at all. We go across the country. We see these storage facilities being built. They're like brand new ones. And I've used storage facilities before, because moving and stuff, you got to use storage facilities. But this is like way out of control. These are like brand new storage facilities, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them. And every time I go by one, I point to one, the Georgiana, I go, look at that one, look at that one. And they got some up in the New England states, so it's like multi-levels. They're huge. And I think what happens is, we just talked about the cares and riches and pleasures. What they do is that those are the cares and riches and pleasures of this life in those storage facilities. And we see something, we like it, we need it, we can afford it, it's the right color, it's the right size, I can buy two, I can skip a bill, and I can buy that, and I've got it. Okay, there we go. I've got this, cares and riches and pleasures. I love this. This will satisfy me forever. Jesus said, I have water, you'll thirst no more. He said, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, I have bread, bread of life, but this cares and riches and pleasures that you got is going to diminish. It's going to not mean anything. Maybe it's that new snowmobile. No, you know, guys don't have snowmobiles down here, do you? Maybe it's that new horse, or maybe it's that new guitar. You know, but it's going to diminish because you're going to want a new fender amp, and it's going to lose its flavor. So what do you do with it? You put it in that storage facility, and then you go on with your life. You try to serve the Lord, but then there's something else. Ooh, look at that. That's real shiny. I like that. I need it. I want it. Everybody's got one. My wife will let me buy one. I can buy one for the kids. Everybody can have one. That's the right color. It's the right size. I'm buying it. There's my cares and riches and pleasures. And eventually that just stops the word of God, because you become so engrossed in the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and you leave God in the back seat. Or you say, well, I can put God over here, but I can still have my cares and riches and pleasures. God requires our whole life. When you give yourself to the Lord, you make him your Lord and Savior. Pastor said that about these guys being baptized. Make you Lord of your life. You've got to make Jesus Christ everything, everything, sold out completely. Amen. So,
come on.
Amen. So we've got to sell out totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is required of a Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, you've got to be Christ-like and sold out. And we know that the word has the words of life. Now, in verse 15, Jesus goes on to say about the seed. He said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, you're going to bring forth fruit with patience. People are going to come to know the Lord if you're a patient. When you hang up your sign, be patient, because some things just don't happen immediately. And just because you don't see anything with your physical eyes doesn't mean nothing's happened with your spiritual eyes. God sees his word, because his word won't return void. So put up that sign. Jesus says in 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. May see the light. These signs are light. God is light. In him there is no darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you put up your sign, people are going to go like this a little bit, because it's bright. It's a bright light. People are living in the dark. We live in the dark until Jesus Christ opens our eyes. And so when you put your sign up, they're going to be going, oh. Or they're going to go, hey, I don't like that sign. Or move that sign. Or the plant up in New England, they plant bushes around the neighbor's sign. You put up the sign, and the neighbor put bushes on their hedgerow so nobody sees the sign. I'm telling you, the devil's out there attacking in different ways. So these are light. And light overtakes darkness. If you're a Christian, you know that light overtakes darkness. And I'll prove it to you. I'm going to cut my hands, and it's dark in there. You know, you got that dark spot in there. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that dark, and I'm going to open my hands, and the dark is going to fly out. Ready? Here we go. It didn't fly out. You know why? Because the light overtook that darkness. Darkness overtakes light. So when you put up your sign, that's a light in a lost and dying world. And it could be just that little seed that somebody needs to meet their Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to share some testimonies here with you. And then I give the pulpit back to Pastor here. Let's see. Oh, we... I believe that just a little bit of God's word will work anywhere. That's why I give out these little sticker mustaches to the kids, because it's got a scripture verse on the back that says, Jesus saves on my mustache. And so I believe that any little bit of God's word will work. And that's why it's important to have tracts in your pocket to hand them out, because those little words of God will be utilized by God and his power to get somebody saved. So we're up in Bridgeton, Maine, and lady says, oh, Brother Mike, they took my sign. And they stole my sign in the middle of the night. I go, why don't you call me? She goes, I knew you were coming back. And so we try to come back every 5 years unless your church gets bigger and we can come back sooner. And I know your church is going to get bigger. she says, yeah, they took my sign in the middle of the night. And I called the police, and the police put it in the newspaper. I go, they put your stolen sign in the newspaper? She goes, yeah. She goes, I got the clipping. I'll send it to you. So she sent me the clipping. And here's what the police put in the newspaper. South Brighton Road, on Monday, a prepare to meet thy God and your sins will find you out sign were stolen from a Kansas Road location. God's word. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah, God's word is in the paper. See Uncle Henry going, hey, Martha, what's that by prepare to meet thy God mean? And Martha would have to explain to him, prepare to meet thy God. Now, prepare to meet thy God, it's a pretty serious sign. If you take that one, when Georgie and I first started with the ministry, we started with about 10 years ago. It's a 29-year-old ministry. And we hung up the sign, prepare to meet thy God, on our property. And my brother comes over, Mike, that's too strong of a sign. You're not going to get anybody saved with that sign. That's Old Testament. And he's belittling me. And other brethren are saying, that's too strong. But it turns out that that's the sign that is most effective in winning souls. And I think it's because when they give me grief about it, it's because they're not prepared to meet God. My brethren, maybe their prayer life isn't what it should be. Maybe their Bible reading isn't what it should be. Maybe they're not going to Sunday school like they should be. But we've got to be prepared to meet God. And at a moment's notice, and we've got to say, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the sound, the shout? I send thank you letters out after I go to a church. And for the longest time, at the bottom of the letter, I'd write, waiting for the trumpet. But I wouldn't write trumpet. I'd write waiting for the Trump. Well, after the political thing going on here, I can't write waiting for the Trump. So I write waiting for the shout. Here's another sister over in, this was in Vermont, very laid back in Vermont, very, they're not alive like you guys are, but they're saved, most of them, that we go to, and here's how they say amen in Vermont. Well, one guy had a sign, he put up a sign that says amen on it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. This lady says, my sign was stolen, and the police wanted me to come down and fill out a report. So she goes down there to fill out the report, and the cop says, okay, what was stolen, ma'am? She goes, my sign. He goes, one sign. He goes, what was on the sign? She goes, John 3:16. He goes, John 3:16. And he goes, what else? She goes, that's it, just John 3:16. He goes, what do you mean, just John 3:16? What's that all about? She goes, you know, the Bible verse, God so loved the world that he gave. He goes, wait a minute, I don't know that verse. What is that? She goes, it's in the Bible. You don't know John 3:16? He says, no, I don't. You got to tell me what it is. And she started repeating it again. And he goes, wait a minute, slow down. I don't know this. And so she had to repeat John 3:16 to this policeman that had never heard it. And, you know, sports games, they always hold up the number John 3:16, but nobody knows the rest of it. So she dictated it to him. She goes, God so loved the world that he gave, his only begotten son. And he had to write it all out. Now, this officer is going to be responsible for the word that he heard. And I can see him up in heaven, the God saying, hey, officer, I tried to get a hold of you. And the cop is going to say, no, you didn't. And God's going to say, yes, I did. You wrote every one of my words down on that paper. So there's ways to do this. Praise the Lord. We've got, I'll speak a bit louder while I go get this sign. Any former Catholics here? Any former Catholics? I was a former Catholic too. I went to 10 years of serious sore than I'm speaking training. We know that our Catholic friends, they believe that you can work your way to heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're saved by grace. And if we were saved by works, then the thief on the cross would have never made it. And we're saved by grace. Are you saved through faith, not of works? This lady writes this letter. She writes, goes, I want to thank you for coming to Fairhaven Baptist Church. We really enjoyed meeting you, and we're encouraged to hear what God is doing through his word. My husband built a stand for our sign the next day or so, so we're able to get it right out there. You can actually see the sign from the Catholic Church like I thought. We're only a few houses from the church, so people can see it on their way. There are also a lot of people that walk on the road to get to town. I was at my kitchen window, and I heard a teenager asking her mom about the sign. She said, "That's a bad place to put it. It's on a corner, and no one's going to read it anyway." I wanted to yell out the window, "You just did. We're praying for you."
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. These signs are two-sided, so try to hang it up like so they can see it coming and going from school, work, or the unemployment office, and they can get the word. Thank you, brother. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's our website. But our job is to get the word out. Praise the Lord. Anybody see the big billboard sign on I-65 coming out of Nashville? Isn't that great? Isn't that praise the Lord? Casper Koenig, our director, his brother is Otto Koenig. I don't know if anybody remembers the pineapple story. That's his brother. But that big billboard was the product of a small church Casper goes to over in White House. A fella in the church owns the property, and the billboard got dilapidated. The church put together a whole bunch of money, and they resurrected it, and they put it up there with the lights on at night, and you can see it. And it's lasted longer than the people that made the sign thought it was going to last, but it's been up there still. And God gets all the glory. I got a note from Casper about the sign. He says, "Our big billboard on I-65 out of Nashville was a site of a tractor-trailer jackknife accident. The truck was carrying a full load of rolled steel and ended up on the edge of the cliff with the driver's door facing up the hill toward the billboard, which reads, 'Prepare to meet thy God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.'" Yeah. "The trooper that arrived at the scene as a Christian was told by the driver of the truck, 'When I opened my door and I saw that sign, I got my heart right with God.'"
Come on.
It means something, me reading this here, because you guys have seen that sign. It's amazing. That sign is like, it's right there. You can't miss it. Unfortunately, some of the trees have grown up in front of it. We've got to find some young men to go over there and chop up the trees. Here's a testimony here from New Hampshire. "Thank you for presenting your unique ministry at our church on June 5th. Thank you for all the fantastic signs of Scripture. We have them up in the church windows and in our homes and cars all over town. The Thursday after you came, I was going out soul winning with two of our men when your signs came up in a conversation. We're walking in the parking lot and started to talk to the first people we met. They both commented that they were looking at those signs with the verses that week. I'm happy to tell you that both Joe and Nicole trusted Christ right there in the parking lot. The word of God is quick and powerful." Amen?
Amen.
That's all we got to do is just get the word out. Just got and when you're talking to folks, use God's word. You know as much of the Bible as you can and use God's word, because our words are very inefficient. Up in Auburn, Massachusetts, Pastor Crockett, he's on my Facebook page. Him and the men are out there with the signs, scripture signs, and he's preaching, they're handing out tracts, things are going pretty good, until this one fella gets it in his mind to make up his own sign. So he makes up his own sign, you know, the Pope is a liar, Muhammad is dead, Buddha's an idiot, and he holds that up, and man, the city went nuts. They go, "You can't do that," and they dragged him all in the city hall. And when the smoke cleared, the pastor and the town fathers were talking, and the town fathers said, "Look it, you can go back out on the street, but use those old signs you used to use, just King James scripture sign. That's it." And the pastor said, "Sure, we can do that." So they went back on the street, and the town fathers gave them a table, and they said, "You come down to City Hall, right in front of City Hall, very, very busy traffic area." And they put their tracts, and the pastor goes to the dollar store, buys Bibles, and hands Bibles out, and souls are being saved. He's preaching the word, they're holding up the Bible, and people are getting saved because of God's word. Because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to have the word of God. Amen. Don't use your own words. And study to show thyself approved. Again, the Sunday school. We got a pastor over in Pastor Dirksen over in Montana. And he's an expert elk hunter. And he invites the guys from the east to come over and hunt elk. And he says to the guys in the east, he goes, "Listen, bring good glass when you come to hunt this elk." And the eastern guys go, "What do you mean good glass?" He says, "You got to bring good binoculars, because you got to know how the elk are moving. You got to know all about the elk. And the only way you're going to know that is with good glass." Brothers and sisters, we've got some good glass right here. We've got binoculars of God. And we've got to use these binoculars. And we've got to use them daily. We've got to know the word. And when you think to yourself, "Oh, I can't do that," Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't afford that. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in heaven. Well, I don't like that person. This is my commandment, that you love one another. We got good glass. We just got to use it more. Okay? We got to use the good glass more. And God will provide ways for you to understand it. Okay? Don't worry about the big words. God will make ways for you to understand it. I got with the computer age, we've got all kinds of ways to understand words. So it behooves you to just turn on a computer, open up your Bible, start reading. I got a little dictionary of words in the Bible that I sometimes give out. I might have an extra one. Ask me if you're concerned. But we've got to get the word out, and we've got to know the word in order to get it out. A lot of testimonies are coming that, I saw the sign, I stopped my car, I got in my car and started reading the sign, the homeowner came out and led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how simple it is. It's a very simple gospel. It's nothing complicated. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These are one-syllable words, and it's very easy to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a brother in Connecticut. He got saved here in 1962. Norm Erickson saw a sign in Connecticut that said, "Ye must be born again." We got one of those over there. The words really struck him. He went to his pastor and asked, what does the sign mean? And the pastor didn't know. He's obviously in the wrong church. So Norm went home and started reading his Bible. And he flipped it open to Deuteronomy 4:29. He found the words, "Thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And Norm, in his own bedroom, got down on his knees and sought the Lord and became a child of God. He's now with Amazing Grace Missions. I don't know if you know what that is. It's a mission that goes to all the county fairs and state fairs in the United States. And they bring people to the Lord. They set up a little booth, and they get the churches together, and they bring them in and bring in the sheaves. So we'll be around to answer any questions you folks have. The testimonies just keep going on, and maybe if you have me back, we'll have some more and some new ones, and I can share them with you. Thank you so much for having us. The Lord has been good to us, and God has always met our needs and supplied our needs because he's touched the heart of other Christians. And hang up your sign, because another Christian somewhere has paid for that sign that you're going to hang up. Take a prayer card to him, pray for us. And those people that were in Sunday school, the ones that Pastor designated, we got some prayer warriors. Please take a couple prayer cards and put them up on your fridge and pray for us, because we're on the road. And when you sell out to God, I want to give God the glory for this. When you sell out to God, he provided a way for that mission van out there to go up to Alaska in 2014. And we went to 18 churches and gave away 300 scripture signs up in Alaska. So they're all over there. We would never be able to afford that on our own, but God provided a way for us to go see this beautiful state of Alaska while doing his work. So that's what I mean. When you sell out to God, get ready. Hold on to your seats, because you don't know what God's going to do. We met a lady this morning going to Russia. It's a phenomenal thing to be a child of God and to totally serve him, because he'll take you to places you've never been before. The old saying was, join the Navy and you'll see the world. Well, become a Christian and you'll really see the world, and you'll get heaven besides. On our prayer cards, it says, Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. So go ahead and publish that sign. Pick your sign up at the end of the service when Pastor dismisses. He's going to ask if anybody here needs to get saved. He's going to ask if you need to get your heart right with God. And don't hold back. Come to the Lord, because time is running out. We could die at any second. Okay? I'm going to give the pulpit back to the pastor.
Come on, God,
pray.
What a blessing. You've been blessed by his message. Say amen. Amen. Hey, I want you guys to, I'm going to stand back a little bit because I know that mic's a little hot. Now you know why they got it turned down, because my volume is high. He was telling me it's amazing that we've seen these signs all over the nation. And their headquarters is right here in White House. They manufacture the signs right near downtown. And, you know, what a blessing it is to have this ministry here. At the end of the service, I know everybody gets a free sign. If you have the ability and you can bless him and his family, we'll have a basket on the last pew. We'll set it on the last pew. And please, on your way out, give to them if you're able. But I want to tell you, it is powerful. He was telling me about the man that makes the signs down here downtown. And as he was making the signs, he said that man was also Catholic. And he would print the signs. He would manufacture them, and he did so many signs, he said he became a Baptist. Come on. So he knew the truth. And as I was praying, this week, and I was considering the invitation, I was considering these signs, I was considering the message, and I've never met Mike, but I feel like I've known him for a long time because we've been friends on social media, and I want to just tell you that this gospel text mission, it makes me happy. I love what the signs say. Amen. I love what they say because I know that they bring glory to God. But as I was meditating on that truth, I was meditating this week that they bring glory to God, but at the same time, they bring satisfaction to us. And listen, whether we like it or not, those people that he was describing that look away, anything in our life that brings glory to God always brings us satisfaction. Now, the enemy would tell you that that's not true, but the truth is that that we can be set free from all the things that we are bound to, and true satisfaction only comes from what these signs describe, salvation. Just like these signs, I believe that every one of our lives on end with a question. Here's the invitation. One question. All of our lives are saying something. Just like these signs. So the question this morning is, what sign does your life give the world about God? Right? Because we're going to go hang these signs in our yard. Amen? We're going to hang these up. And you can't hang the sign up and then your life says something else. Right? If you're going to hang this sign up, you've got to be a representative of your Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to live it out. You've got to be all in. Like he's saying, we've got to be sold out. That's the sermon series we're in right now, all in. And I'll tell you that our lives are all sending a message. So what would your life, what sign does your life give the world about God? Would people describe you as godly? Do they see God in you? That's an invitation for all of us in this room. There's many in here, most of us who already know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But we all need to be reminded, you know, that we need to be representing Him. That we need to be seeking Him. I want to ask you this as well. If you had two friends that wanted to give you a gift, one of them came and he says, I want to give you this gift because we're friends. And that's what friends do. But the other one comes to you and says, I want to give you a gift because I love you. I want to give you this gift because I love you and I want you to have it. Right? God gave his very best. He gave his one and only son for us. And listen, he wants us to give parts of us, pieces of us, out of our love for him. He wants us to come to him and tell him that Lord, as a sign that I love you, I want to give you this part of me. So as I was meditating, I was thinking about the different things that because we love God, that we're able to give him these parts of us. And let me tell you, some of them, they don't sound like they're worth anything, but to God, they're invaluable. Whenever we give God things like our anger, when we give God like our worries and our anxieties, we don't need them, but God wants us to give them to him. And because we love him, we can go to him and we can give him these things. But and even more so than that, we can say, God, because I love you, as a sign that I love you, I want to give you my priorities. The priorities in my life. As a sign that I love you, Father, I want to give you my time. As a sign that I love you, Father, I want to give you all of my thoughts. I want you to have my thought life. You come to him and you say, Father, I want to give you, because I love you, as a sign that I love you, I want to give you all of my work and all of my rest. Right, that all things that I do, whether I'm working or I'm resting, Father, I want to give them to you as a sign that I love you. Let me tell you this fact, that each time you give God a piece of you, you become more like him. every time as a sign that we give him. We say, Father, I love you and I want to give this part of me to you. He fills you with himself. And what happens is the sign that you become, the world, the sign to the world about God becomes Jesus. They actually see Jesus in you. So today, the musicians are going to come and we're going to sing our last song today. But listen, today you can give him the very best part of you. You can give him your heart and you can give him your life. As a sign that you love him. As a sign that you love him, you can come forward today and you can say, I've never trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But just as this sign says, I want to prepare to meet my God. I want to know him in a real and personal way. I want to come and grab you by the hand. And as they start to sing, I'll be standing right here. And you can come and you can grab me and we'll celebrate together. There's no judgment in this room. Everyone here would like to celebrate with you.